Thank you and be seated, please. What a super great joy it is for me to welcome you again to our new worship space in the Student Center. And again, I'm so grateful for Reverend Andrew and for the Youth Department in making this transition possible. And I'm so grateful for the guys that live in the cage. Have you noticed that to your right are some guys that are imprisoned in the sound cage? You know, I'm really grateful for their faithfulness, the behind-the-scenes kind of folks that help make worship a part of our lives. I'm so grateful. And this morning, we have a new camera operator, up there on the big high stage. You know, it's great that we can be a family together and that we can find a place to belong. I wonder, do you feel like you belong here yet? I would really like to offer you the gift of belonging. And this is what I mean by belonging. A safe place where you can explore your spirituality wherever you are on your spiritual journey. A safe place where you can be called by name, and that's a good thing to be called by name. A safe place where you're missed when you're not here. On October the 26th, the last Wednesday of the month, I'm hosting another Java with John, an opportunity to sit informally, drink coffee together, or have some dessert, and just talk about what it means to be a part of this great community of faith at Conyers First United Methodist Church. And I would love for you to be a part of that, because I would really like to give you the gift of a place to belong. I hope you'll find your white connection card in your worship folder this morning. And it would mean a lot to me if you'd simply fill out the front and let me know that you're here today. And on the back is an opportunity for you to say, I'd like to be a part of Java with John. I'd like to explore church membership. We'll talk about the back of the card in just a few moments. In your prayers this morning, I ask you to remember some important people in the life of this church. Dave Smith at Rockdale Medical Center, Julia Mahon at Rockdale Healthcare following surgery. I invite you to pray this morning for the family of Murtis Daly. Murtis passed away this past week, longtime member of our church. Reverend Dan had her funeral. I also invite you to pray for our friend Bonnie Haas. Her 101-year-old mom passed away this last week. And then with the greatest of sadness, I announce that my wonderful dear friend Louise Elliott, truly a saint of God, passed away on Saturday. We're in the process of planning her service of celebration, and I invite you to remember all of these who have experienced losses this week. As always, I invite you to pray for our missionaries. Are you aware that this church supports a number of missionaries around the world? Men and women who are so convinced of the call of Christ in their lives that they're willing to cross all kinds of barriers. Language barriers, cultural barriers, racial barriers, for one purpose, to be the light of Jesus Christ. I invite you to pray for our military men and women. We have a number of folks in our church related to the United States Armed Forces, and regardless of your theology of war, regardless of your opinion about the present administration in Washington, these men and women have heard the call to serve in the name of the United States of America, and we honor them by offering them the fullest support that we can possibly offer. Could somebody say amen to that? We pray for our military men and women. As you're leaving worship this morning, you may hear the Doster Memorial Carillon ringing. Across the country today, we are joining with the Firefighters Memorial Day. We're remembering men and women who in the line of duty as firefighters have lost their lives. And I'm so grateful that Scott McCord, who's one of the leaders in the Rockdale County Fire and Rescue, has brought this opportunity to us. So as you hear the carillon playing, we are honoring men and women, civil servants, who have given their lives for you and me and others in our country. I invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning. And I encourage you to bring a Bible every week. And if you haven't found a really good study Bible yet, I'd love to give you some recommendations about that. And I'd like for you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, important prophet in the Old Testament. And hey, if you don't know immediately where Ezekiel is, that's okay. That's why God created a table of content. I'd rather you take just a minute to find the book of Ezekiel. Or for Christmas, ask your significant other, your mom or dad, to buy you a Bible. Hey, with the cheater on the side, you know, the thumb tabs that show the find the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. This morning I'm continuing my fall stewardship series, which I've entitled Re, exploring the essential element of a faithful life. Now, last week we began by talking about the table of periodic elements. Remember 10th grade chemistry class? And all those two-letter references to the great collection of things that God has built into nature. One of the last on the periodic table to be discovered was in 1925, and it's the letters RE, which stands for rhenium. It's one of the newest developed or discovered, and it was discovered to be in the Earth's crust as one of the last stable elements that human beings have discovered. Well, I want to suggest to you in this series that God Almighty is the last stable element that you can trust in your life. And I love the prefix re. Most of the time when you see the prefix re, what does that mean? What's fixing to happen? Something's going to be done over? Hey, have you ever prayed to God for a do-over? You really, really, really messed up. Or am I the only one that's really, really, really messed up? And he prayed, Lord, let me have a do-over. This whole series of messages is about God, who is the great re, the one that gives us the capacity to do over in his name, do over by his spirit, do over and rise up to be the men and women that he wants us to be. Last week we talked about being redeemed. After being sold off into slavery, cast out of the presence of the Almighty, God, knowing all about us and all the mistakes we have made, could not keep himself from hunting us down to welcome us home in his loving arms. This morning I'm continuing that theme, and our subject this morning is the gift of being restored. And I think one of my very favorite passages in the Bible about the gift of restoration is Ezekiel chapter 37. This is the marvelous account of the Valley of the Dry Bones. It was this passage that inspired great musical art, like the toe bones connected to the foot bone and the foot bones connected to the ankle bone and the... Some of you know, some of you really old people understand. If you're as old as I am, like in your 40s, maybe even as old as the 50s, Keith, even as old as you, like in your 50s, you know those kind of songs. It's the great picture of God's enormous desire to restore to health, restore to value, restore to hope his people. This morning I want us to look at Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and let's study this together this morning. The hand of the Lord was upon me, said Ezekiel the prophet, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now I want to stop there because that seems really curious to me, that the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the one who created all that is and all that ever will be, asks a mortal human being. Now this is the Southern version. Reckon those bones can come to life again? Now I really like Ezekiel's response. Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. In other words, Ezekiel said, well, I don't know. Now, does that strike you strange? That the Almighty is asking a mortal human being whether or not he believes that dry bones can come to life again? I think this question is essential to the church. For the answer to this question will determine whether we have the right to exist, whether we have the right to continue, whether we have the right to speak into people's lives. Do you believe that we serve a God who has the capacity to bring life from death? Do you believe? Do you believe in a God who specializes in taking what is dry and worn out, what has been rendered useless, and bring all of those elements back to life again? Do you believe? If you don't, then why are you here? For isn't that the great message of Christ and His church? Hope that you and I, regardless of the mistakes we've made, and there are plenty, that we can be restored for the glory of God. Now, before we go on, the fact of the matter is, the people of Israel earned their way into the Valley of Dry Bones. Over and over and over again, God gave them a promise. God made them an offer for life, an offer for hope, an offer for holiness, and the people of God turned their backs on Him and found themselves drying up, starving, fading away. What I find really interesting in this passage in Ezekiel chapter 37 this morning is that God is not interested in repeating an accusation. God doesn't waste any time saying, "You made your bed, you lie in it." God doesn't waste time repeating the problem. God spends His time promising restoration to all who will hear. So, the passage goes on, verse 4. Then He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones." I just want to stop there because I got really excited studying my Hebrew this week. Oh, man. Because I had really not given a lot of thought to that English word, prophesy. What does it really mean? To say the word prophesy, how do you sort of interpret that word? What do you think the word prophesy means? What's the attitude behind prophesy? Something in the future, okay. What does prophesy mean? Foretell? Command? Okay, what do you reckon that the attitude behind prophesy is? Is this the attitude of prophesy? Or could it be that this is the attitude of prophesy? Here's what really turned me on this week in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. The word prophesy means to bring under divine influence. To bring under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to see this played out in Ezekiel chapter 37. Now here's what's really exciting to me as it relates to the church. God can do whatever God wants to do, right? He certainly has the power and the glory and the honor to do that. But in this passage, we're taught that God intentionally chooses flawed and broken human beings like you and me, or at least flawed and broken like me, to be His conduit to bring other flawed and broken and hurting people under the power, under the influence, under the promise of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, the visible community of God, have a huge opportunity to prophesy. In the old days of the Methodist Church, the way old days of the Methodist Church, we had a kind of preacher that we called an exhorter. And his whole job was to exhort people. Do you have any idea what the old-fashioned word exhort means? The old-fashioned word exhort means to build up, to inspire with a vision, inspire with hope. And God Almighty has given this revelation to Ezekiel to say, prophesy, exhort, build up, be used to bring others under the divine influence of the Almighty. Do you realize that's one of your primary job descriptions as a follower of Jesus? To bring people into the divine presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I got a quick question to ask you. How you doing? How are your words, your actions, your conduct, the vision of the kind of person you are? How is that working to prophesy and bring others under the influence of the Almighty? Well, let's go back to the text. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Now, I love the word breath. Again, in the Hebrew text, it's one of the earliest words used in the Old Testament. I just have to show off a little and speak the word breath in Hebrew because it's one of my favorite words. Are you ready for it? In Hebrew, it is ruach. And you got to be real guttural. Like, to really say ruach right, you kind of have to spit. So let's practice saying it together. Ruach. It can be translated breath or wind, but from the beginning of the Bible, it is a unique breath. It is a unique wind. It is the breath of God. It is the life-restoring wind of the Holy Spirit. Brother, you are welcome here. You do not need to leave worship today. We welcome you. We welcome you this morning. He says, prophesy to these bones and promise that I will, if you'll let me, breathe new life into you. Now, if we study this passage carefully, there are two kinds of new life that the Bible is talking about here. Let's follow on. He goes on to say in verse 6, I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, this passage indicates to me that God cares very much about our physical circumstances. God wants our bodies to be clothed, our bodies to be made strong. You know, I am so proud to be a part of a denomination and a particularly a local church here at Conyers First that cares very much about working to grant dignity to men and women who don't have enough food to eat, who don't have proper clothing, who do not have adequate housing. Can you think in the life of our church of some examples of ministries in our church that we're committed to that restore people physically? Tell me, what are some of them you can think of?
Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels. Do you know we have a single wide trailer planted at the Lakeview community that is open every Saturday for the single purpose of offering quality used clothing to men and women in that community? It's got a great big cross and flame, Conyers First United Methodist Church, and many volunteers give themselves in the Lakeview community simply to say, God cares about your bones and your tendons and your flesh, and we want to care about them too. What other kinds of restoring ministries are you aware of through this great church? Disaster relief through the North Georgia Conference. Absolutely. What else can you think of? Angel Tree Ministry, looking after children, particularly at Christmas time, who would not otherwise have any experience of the gift-giving season. Other things that you can think of? The Samaritan Fund. Did you know that you have already given away more than $10,000 this year to help people have their power restored? Their gas and water and electricity restored? Did you know that? Hey, last Sunday before I left for London, I needed to do one more thing. Though it's not directly a ministry of this church, the president of Habitat for Humanity of Rockdale County is a member of this church. And I got to preside over the blessing of a house for a mom, a single mom, and her daughter. And my goodness, if you could have seen that little girl, she was wound up like a top, going from every room and envisioning what it was going to be. God cares about our physical circumstances. And this church is called to prophesy to bones that have dried up, hope that has been lost. And say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be God's agents to breathe hope and new life into you. But he goes on, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. It's almost like Ezekiel, who started out chapter 37 saying, heck, I don't know if these bones can come alive. All of a sudden he says, so I did what God said. And guess what? Something happened. As I was prophesying, the act of obedience, I heard a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on the bones and covering, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. You see, the call of God that he puts upon our lives and upon the church is not only to breathe hope into physical circumstances, but to breathe hope into spiritual circumstances as well. The body was properly put together and properly nurtured and properly cared for, but there was no life inside. So verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath. Now this is ruach, wind, Holy Spirit. Let me just pause there and say that if you're a born-again believer, and if you've been baptized in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is giving you the command to be used to pray down God's life-giving Holy Spirit into the lives of other people. I hope you feel the power of that promise. I kind of experienced this not long ago. I was in a hurry like I normally am, and I was doing one of my very favorite things around the house, that's to vacuum. I hate to dust. I really don't like to do laundry, but I love to vacuum. And I love to vacuum the lines just right. Don't you? I know you do. So I was like in a hurry, and I wasn't paying attention, and I reached for the cord to unplug it from, you know, the little Trinitarian socket, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit socket. And I didn't do it quite right, and I allowed the flesh of my finger to get caught between the outside plastic of the plug and one of the connectors that was still plugged in. I got a little wake-up call. I felt something powerful move through me. Now, I do not recommend that you do that. But I believe God, the sovereign Lord, is speaking to Ezekiel in the midst of desperate circumstances, saying, I want to give you that kind of supernatural jolt. You can pray down the power of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life and be a source of restoration for them. He says, come, four winds, breathe into these slain that they may live. Slain is used throughout most of the translations, and that word in the Hebrew text means those utterly destroyed. You know, I am so glad that our church genuinely has a heart for men and women who feel utterly destroyed, mentally, emotionally, spiritually destroyed. I think of the kind of ministries in this church that reach out to love people and nurture them just for who they are. Hey, by offering them a warm place to come in the morning, offering them the dignity of being recognized. We had an experience not long ago that I shared with some of you, a gentleman who lives in our community who has significant mental issues. I mean significant mental issues. And he came to church one Sunday, and it was hard to miss him. He was wearing a Statue of Liberty crown and a t-shirt and an American flag. And that was all that he was wearing. I saw others see him, and I was so blessed. This was a person who was speaking out of his head. This was a very challenging moment, and I saw members of this church rescue that man and offer him the dignity of making sure he was covered and offered him a place to sit and a heaping plate of breakfast. I am so glad that I get to be a part of a church that works to try to restore people who are struggling. The Bible goes on to say, verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded, and ho, ho, what happened? Breath entered them. They came to life. They stood up on their feet, a vast army. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, the whole collection of God's people. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Do you know somebody like that? Are you that person? Therefore, prophesy, exhort, Bring them under the influence of the divine one. Prophesy to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Now, this is not talking about resurrection to heaven. This is talking about restoration on earth. A restoration of dignity, a restoration of hope, a restoration of opportunity. Verse 11, then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. Verse 14, again, I will put my spirit, my ruach in you, and you will live, and I will settle you. I don't know why that word's striking me this morning, settle you. What does the word settle mean? I have finally found my place. I finally know that I belong. I finally feel my life has value. I know that God really does love me. I will breathe my spirit in you, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I'm focusing on this theme this morning as we think about our stewardship season for the year 2012 and how I desperately want to be a part of a church that is about the restoration business, investing resources in people and ministries and opportunities, expanding the ministry of our Conyers Counseling Center so that people who find themselves lost emotionally and lost in grief and lost in brokenness can find the help and the hope of a licensed, godly, professional counselor to breathe hope into them. I want to be a church that is a leader in the community in making sure that people who are in need don't have to remain in need. And we may not be able to meet every need in Rockdale County, but we can meet a lot of them. And I'm determined to do that. This morning, I'm so proud to present my wonderful friend, Teresa Keller, to come and give a witness about how she has seen God move to restore her life and how God has worked. She's seen God work to restore the lives of others through this great church. Now, you know, it's a little intimidating to sit up here under the lights, you know. It's the only place I know where you can preach and get a suntan at the same time. So as Teresa comes, could I see some smiles and teeth? Teeth and smiles? And would you be gracious in offering your welcome to our friend Teresa Keller? Would you like to sit or stand?
I don't know. Somewhere in between.
All right.
I'm going to start off standing and thank you all for all of the restoration you've already given me. When I first came to Conyers First, I hadn't been to church in 4 years. Sorry, this part's emotional. It gets better after this. I had one church that sent me running practically during the sermon, and I couldn't stand what they had to say. I made it through the sermon, and I ran from the church and never looked back. And it took me 4 years to start listening. And I see a lot of parents in here, so I'm going to bring a comical nature back. Do you ever have something that you tell your children over and over and over again, and you feel like they're just not listening? That was probably me for 4 years. God was definitely trying to bring me back, and I was being really stubborn, convinced that every church preached hatred the way that church was doing. So I was driving through town and I saw the sign for Conyers First. And I was raised Methodist, so I was drawn to it. And I felt like he was suddenly whispering. And I heard him. So Palm Sunday, 2008, I came here to the church, and everybody here was so welcoming, and you have been ever since. Sorry. This part is hard, but God has really spoken to me since I've been here at this church, and it's been through all of you who have restored me. And I look around and I see so many faces that have had a personal impact on my life. So he began to speak a little louder to me through this church, and it became really comical because I really would find myself chuckling at the things he was providing for me. I found a book club of people my age and was thrilled. And they were all just amazing people with huge faith. And so I was drawn to them and drawn to this church, and I knew that my faith was going to grow here. And I needed a car, and suddenly in my book club, they had a prayer request for this couple moving to Norway, and they needed to sell their car. So I kind of laughed, and I thought, what kind of car is it? It was the very car that I always wanted, and the very one within my price range. So I definitely heard him, and I went home laughing, literally laughing, that he was now screaming at me, and I just felt at home, and still the car I'm driving to this day. But there's been so many other things that he's provided for me, and so many people within this church that I won't name by name for fear of forgetting anyone. But my spiritual faith has grown so much through Disciple 1 and Disciple 2 and the Alpha course. And many of you I've seen move to tears. Many of you have moved me to tears. When we have the hymn of invitation at church and I see someone go down there, again, move to tears. Surprising, I know. But I'm just joyful. And the more that I see Dan put up numbers to repeat verses, the more I rejoice. It's people coming to God through this church. And it's just been an amazing adventure for me. So when I think about this church and where I started and where I am now, participating in two committees that show me every time I go to a meeting how much need there is out there. But not only that, he shows me every day how much he's providing for me still. And my biggest concern is that of the homeless. And I ride a bus to work in Atlanta, Georgia, obviously, downtown Atlanta. And I'm on a bus that's warm. And in the middle of winter, I'll see people in doorways asleep. And it crushes me. So to know what this church does for the homeless and to see the vast difference between my life and his provision and what they must be going through, it calls me to do something. So I do have a verse that this actually, I'm always drawn to this verse, and Dr. Byers brought it to my attention. So when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And I know that I'm biblically being asked to provide more so it can go to those people in need, spiritually and physically. And I want to thank each and every one of you for what you've done for me.
Amen. On the last Sunday of this month, we're going to be asking that all of the people of this great church complete their commitment card for 2012. It helps us do a couple of things. First of all, it helps make commitment real. It causes us to really think about what we're going to do. And secondly, it helps this church provide financially in a responsible way. We will probably give total to the ministry of this church this year with money given through our church here locally and the many missions we support around the world. We will probably give in excess of $1.7 or $1.8 million. That's a large sum of money. And we have the most transparent financial system that I've ever been a part of. That system is always open to you. But in order to live at that level of ministry, it requires us to know what we can expect in the year to come. And that's why the process of making a pledge to the church really matters. So we can plan appropriately and we can make promises and then fulfill those promises. I choose to tithe. I choose to tithe not because I'm a preacher or because I'm supposed to, but because I find great joy in giving. And I find when I'm faithful to God, He's faithful to me. For a long time, I thought I was doing the right thing. I was so proud of myself. I was tithing a dime for every dollar of my net income. I was real proud of myself. Until God began to speak to me and say, John, you're still robbing me. And I said, what? And He laid it upon my heart to begin to tithe on my gross income. He said, just see what'll happen. Just see what'll happen. I tell you that story not because of the sum that I give, but to give glory to God who makes a promise and always fulfills it. And I'm really, really grateful that I'll be able to give what I give this year and next year because God really is faithful. And because I want to see tender-hearted people like Teresa Keller, and I know there are thousands of tender-hearted, broken people that I want to see this church reach and restore and love. And I wonder if you'd join me in the journey for 2012. If you haven't received a commitment card in the mail already, we will have extras on commitment day. Imagine that. We will have extra cards. And I encourage you to pray about how God can use you to prophesy. How God can use you to help people come under His divine influence. His influence of redemption and of restoration. As we conclude our service this morning, I do draw your attention again to the white connection card. And on the back side of the connection card is really one of my favorite parts of our church. It's an opportunity for you to share your heartbeat with me. I love meeting you in my prayer time on Tuesdays. And so many of you have trusted me enough to share some really vulnerable things about your life. And I want you to know that I'm honored by your willingness to share your heart with me. And I'm delighted to spend a good bit of time on Tuesdays on my knees before the cross, praying for you by name and by need. On the backside is also an opportunity for you to indicate that you'd like to know more about membership or what it means to become a born-again believer, what it means to be baptized and brought into the life of the church. If you're not already part of a small group Sunday school class on Sunday morning where you can really belong, I'd like to help you get to that place where you can belong. As you're completing your connection card, I'd also like to invite you to prepare your morning offering. We do operate completely on the free will gifts of God's people. I like to think of my gift as my heartbeat of love in negotiable form. You can write a check to Conyers First United Methodist Church. That's probably the best way to do it today. But I'm really pleased that we've just instituted on our website, conyersfirst.org, electronic giving, either by PayPal, ho, 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 we're in the 21st century, PayPal, or through your bank to arrange an EFT. I kind of like the EFT option. That makes sure that regardless of whether you're traveling or what's going on, your giving to the church is regular. Your heartbeat is always present. Now, I don't want to say it's like the mortgage or your club membership, but it does help us be regular to provide for the needs of God's people. As our band, who's sounding awfully good these days, somebody say amen. As our band, who's sounding awfully good these days, because I believe they're anointed men and women of God, I invite you to complete your connection card. I invite you to prepare your morning offering. And then in just a moment, the offering baskets will be passed. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance, prophesy unto you His healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. I claim you now as God's own and mark you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and good morning.